Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Welcome to the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I'm Dan Luganville. So this week's weekend recap and rant. Sorry if I sound a little sniffly. Hopefully I won't sneeze or cough up a lung while I'm doing this. I did pick up a cold. That's right. Just a cold. Apparently they still exist. I am proof positive that you can still just get a cold. I got tested for the Dirty Rona, and it was negative. So I dodged it yet again. Been surrounded by it since, you know, for pretty much forever, and still managed to keep dodging it. So I don't know. Or maybe I had it and didn't realize I had it, and I have the immunity. I don't know. I should probably get that test, see if you have the... Why can't I think of the word right now? Because I got a cold, that's why. Antibodies. There it is. There's the word. Maybe just to check to see if I've already had it or not. But anyways, that's enough talk about that. It's only really a point. It's only relevant to the story because almost didn't have something to talk about this week. So the original plan was we were going to head up to the Turtle Mountains after Thanksgiving. Joel... And I was going to go, Bobby and Wyatt were going to join us. They were in Minnesota Made last year with us. And so that was the plan. And then Wednesday I started feeling like just not right. And more not right than usual. Kind of the chills. And then Thanksgiving rolled around. I was like, yeah, definitely got something going on. I'm not quite sure. And so I actually went and got myself tested on Thanksgiving, and none of the clinics were open, so I had to do the drive-through thing. That's $90, apparently. So that was cool to pay somebody $90 to jam a Q-tip into your sinuses. So that was super fun. But then, yeah, it came back negative, which was great, because obviously if it was positive, I was going to have to cancel the trip. And Bobby had to back out because he did have COVID. So it was, instead of four of us, it was three of us. But I was glad it was just a regular old cold and wasn't that bad. Well, that wasn't kicking my ass too bad. So it's like, well, we'll medicate and we'll make it through. So 8-hour trip up there and back, obviously. That was a little longer than that. We kind of dilly-dally, took our time. We stopped at Shields and Grand Forks. Wyatt really wanted some waxies and very upset that they did not have mesh shields. Joel and I generally stick to plastics. We weren't too concerned, but we, now we're on the hunt, right? So we're looking at, as we leave Grand Forks, headed kind of towards the Devil's Lake area, We're looking up potential bait shops and why it's calling around to see if anybody has waxies. And it turns out nobody has waxies. I don't know why. You think they would be stocked up this time of year. I can't imagine the supply chain for waxworms should have anything to do with container ships off the coast of California. So I don't know why there's a waxworm shortage. We're having a hell of a time. We found this place said, yeah, I've got them. So we go there, and it's like a shed. Turns out, and they weren't open. But we call him up, and he's like, oh, I'm just 5 minutes down the road. It turns out this guy, this isn't a bait shop. He's a bait dealer. So he's like, but, you know, I can sell you some. It's like, oh, that made Wyatt's day and Wyatt's trip for sure. So he bought a pretty good-sized jug of them. And that was kind of cool talking to him. It was pretty interesting. So we're another interesting thing is I'm talking to my contact up there, Clayton Davis, up on the res, like who was going to, you know, hopefully get to fish with us, and it's kind of pointing us in the right directions. And we're getting closer. I'm like, all right, what's the plan? What are we doing? And it was interesting because the old timer, you know, he's like, well, where are you guys going and what are you doing? And we told him we're headed up to Turtle Mountains for big bluegills. He's like, oh, okay, well, this, that, and the other thing. And then he mentions right before we leave, he's like, well, you should go try this lake. And we're like, okay, this old timer, this sounds like somebody we should listen to. So we're definitely going to keep that in mind. We get back in the vehicle, we take off, and like mere minutes after that exchange, Clayton messaged me. He's like, well, here's the plan. We're going to start off on Lake X, same lake that the old timer recommended. So I was like, there's confirmation. We are definitely going there. So that was the plan. Unfortunately, Clayton was he has a ranch, so they were busy unloading hay. He wasn't sure if he was going to get to fish that night because we were getting there in enough time. We had left like 4 o'clock in the morning, so we wanted to get there in time to be able to fish some of Friday. And so he kind of explained to me, and Joel and Wyatt had already been kind of doing some research and talking to other people, and apparently up there, a lot of the lakes, the bite window is like small, low light. You have first light and last light, and that's when the bluegills bite, which to me is just like, that's so weird. And I know we have a couple like night bite bluegill lakes in northern Minnesota, like Patrick, Patches Olson from the Lone Angler has talked about that, a couple of lakes like that, which I've never personally experienced. It just sounds like so weird to me. But that was kind of the plan. So we head out and Clayton tells us where to go, you know, kind of walks me through it on the phone because he wasn't able to join us. And so we start there, and one of the things he said is, you know, if you find perch or smaller gills, that's you're in the right spot, you know, then just stay there until prime time. He's like, the bluegills will move in. So we started drilling holes, you know, and we had two live scopes, and they were pretty much of no use, just because the weeds, and we went out into the basin, weren't marking anything out in the basin, and the weeds were dead. We threw the camera down there, we looked around, didn't find anything, and then finally found some spots that had some of those perch in it, and the perch were biting pretty good, but they weren't nothing to write home about either. So we just, this should be the right area, is what Clayton was saying, and then the sun goes down, and sure enough, start picking up some bluegills, and caught, you know, I think first fish was pretty decent, probably about 9 inches, which doesn't seem that big, but these fish up there are just built different. They're so tall. So even a 9, you're just like, that's it? It's only a 9? How is this only a 9? Like, this thing looks gigantic. So we fished till after dark, continued to catch some fish. So we're up there trying to find these 12 inches, like a 12-inch bluegill, true trophy, mega donkey. That was the point of this trip. And talking to Lawrence Loma, who, thanks Lawrence, by the way, for introducing me to Clayton. I owe you. That's an awesome connection. But in talking to them, you know, there's other lakes we could have gone to or would have caught, like probably caught more fish. You know, you catch more of your 9s and 10s, but you wouldn't have that option for true giants for the 12s. And we had all kind of agreed, like, this was a trophy hunt. We're going up there for one fish, and we don't care who catches it. We just want to see one giant. And so we kind of pretty much stuck to our guns. Like, we're going to go, we don't care, you know. And as the weekend progressed, though, you know, we had to kind of keep talking ourselves back into that. So Friday came and went, didn't find any true giants, kind of got a feel for that lake a little bit. And then, you know, so we were staying at the resort, the Sky Dancer Casino and Resort, or Resort and Casino. I'm not quite sure which way the words flow. Not that it matters. We go and we have dinner there, and the food is legit at this resort. Holy smokes. I am super impressed. Just all around. Very impressed with this resort and casino. Very, everything was clean. Food was fantastic. There looks like they're remodeling, or they're adding on, look like. I mean, they had a buffet, but the buffet was closed. There was another bar area that was also closed. That was all under construction. So it looked kind of interesting. I would like to go back sometime. I'm definitely going back, but we'll continue on. So the plan was in the morning, go back to that lake. Try to get there before sun up, try to get that low light period. And then, once that bite died off, then we would go do something else. And originally thought, you know, we were looking at all the different options. There's a couple areas where we heard you can catch big crappies. Maybe we will go to this other lake where they're known for more, you know, 10-inchers and stuff like that. And trying to figure all that out. And then Wyatt gets some info about a area trout lake that's supposed to have really big trout in it. And so we get to talk about that, and Joel has never really done it. He's never caught a real big trout or trout of any kind. I guess he said he caught one, like, tiny one at a time, but didn't count for some reason. You have to ask him. Anyways, he's like, I'd like to do that. I'm like, dude, I'm in. Trout fishing, ice fishing for trout is super fun. So that was kind of our plan. So we get up, we get to the lake, and we head out there, and we're a little behind our schedule. It's already kind of starting to get light when we get there. Walk out, we reopen some of our holes, and the first hole I try, boom, I start catching fish. It's like, God dang it, we should have been here earlier. Kind of think we may have missed some opportunities. And we proceed to catch some fish, still not finding any of those giants. Did again, caught some, you know, nice 9-inchers that are just tall and beautiful looking, but no 12s. And then they just, man, when they shut off, they just shut off. I don't know where they go. You cannot find them with a live scope. You can't find them in the weeds. These things just do a complete Houdini and vanish. It's the weirdest thing. It's crazy. Part of me, like, I want to under ice dive this thing to see where these fish go and just follow them. It's such a mystery. It's just crazy. But then once the perch start biting, you know it's pretty much over. So that happened, then we headed off, and we go check out that trout lake. And we wanted to find, we're hoping to find bait to use some live minnows, because you can do that in North Dakota. Here in Minnesota, you can't use live minnows for trout, and trout season isn't even open right now. But North Dakota doesn't have seasons. Fishing is 365 there. They don't have any openers like we have here in Minnesota, Wisconsin, or Michigan, or wherever. Like, things are just always open. We're able to go target those. So we're like, well, we do have wax worms. We'll just do the best we can. And we had set, Wyatt had had a snare rod, so we set a snare rod out with some waxies, and then we were all jigging spoons and stuff. And his set rod got hit, like, a bunch of times, but it just wouldn't, it just kept dropping it. And we weren't able to actually stick one on that, but it got hit a bunch. I had a couple opportunities that I didn't capitalize on my jigging spoons, so did Wyatt. And then Joel missed one. He had one on for a little bit, then it got off. And then he ended up hooking up, like, solid hookup. And so we all run over there. I was able to Snapchat all that. So if you follow me on Snapchat, you saw that fight and then ultimately that fish. I've since posted on Instagram, I believe. I don't think I posted a picture of Joel with the fish. I need to do that. I'm going to put that on Instagram. But I did the fish laying on the ice. A beautiful fish. Beautiful. 25-inch rainbow. Gorgeous color. Pretty sure it's a male. Has a little bit of that kite jaw. And then, so we had a time where we needed to quit and get back to the original lake, the big trophy, Gill Lake. Because then we wanted, you know, we're trying to, we are there for big gills. That is our main focus, so we need to be there at prime time. And then right before we were going to leave, I got smoked, and somehow, I don't know how I did not hook this fish, because I set the hook and my rod loaded up and just immediately slacked out, so not quite sure how I missed that fish, but that was a lot of fun. That was like kind of made the trip, honestly. Like, that was a really good fight, and just watching Joel, and he was excited, and never caught a trout through the ice before, so that's, you know, that's a pretty good one to for your first. You could almost hang up the ice fishing gear as far as trout fishing is concerned, because I'm not sure when you're going to beat 25 inches. That's a good one. Really good fish. Then we headed back to that lake. Didn't really have to open too many holes out. It was kind of warm that day. So, No, it got really windy, actually. We did have to reopen some holes. There wasn't, like, much ice. You can pretty much kick them open. But then you had all the slush and the ice chunks to deal with. So, actually, it was a little easier to just zip them open with the drill and clean them out. But got there and fished after dark. And Clayton was finally able to join us that evening, and so we got to fish with him. It was a lot of fun. What a great dude, man. Like, that, one of the nicest guys I have ever met in my entire life. Dude is super cool. He's the reservation game warden up there. Just very cool dude, man. And so we invited him out to have dinner with us again Saturday night. We didn't catch any 12s that night. Head back to the casino. We're going to eat at the casino again because food is so bomb. And the night before, I had the tomahawk ribeye, which was so good, perfectly cooked. Oh, tasted so good. And apparently the other items on the menu are just as good, because when we sat down and ordered, everybody ordered the exact same thing they had the night before. They're like, that was so good, I'm having that again. And I went for the tomahawk steak again. Like, it was just that good. And then, so yeah, as we get eating with Clayton and just spinning tails, and he's telling all sorts of stories, and man, what a fantastic night. Having a few beers, recapping some stuff, meeting new friends. I can't speak highly enough of Mr. Clayton Davis. Is pretty awesome. That was a lot of fun. And so now we're thinking, well, you know, with this weird short bite window, I guess we're going to be getting on the road pretty early in the morning, which isn't the worst thing in the world to get home at a decent time, but it's still kind of nuts. So we got up extra early Sunday morning, so we made sure we didn't miss any bite window. And for whatever reason, Joel was very tired and decided to stay in the truck. So it was up to Wyatt and I to get this 12-incher thing done. And we gave her hell. I ended up catching one when it was still very dark. Not a 12-incher. It was another nice, like, 9-incher or whatever. Didn't measure it. It was just another nice, solid fish. And then I struggled. I could not mark another fish. Meanwhile, Wyatt had, like, the hot hole. And he was just pinwheeling over there, just slaying them left and right. And I tried to get as close to him as I can. I didn't want to, you know, drill a new hole and bust out his school. I eventually did drill a hole. I waited till he said he didn't have any fish on his screen, so then I drilled one closer. And then I think that was, like, they never returned. So I think that was just the end of the bite. And it was kind of nuts. I mean, I got fairly close to him with one of our other holes, and just, I don't know, I couldn't. For some reason, they were stacked on that one hole, and he made short work of me. He said he had one real good mark that came in, sniffed it, and left that he thinks might have been. And we had a couple of those each time we went out. Like, each person had kind of had a run-in with a bigger fish. You could just tell the mark was bigger, and they acted different, and they, you know, those big bluegills, they don't get that big by being stupid. So we didn't end up getting any true trophies, but it was fine. You know, we kept kind of getting distracted and saying, well, maybe we should try somewhere else, try some. No, let's just stick to the plan. Everybody we've talked to said this is the lake you want to be on to catch a true giant, to catch a 12-inch. We just need to put in our time. Clayton showed us pictures, like, this is the lake you want to be on. And we put our time. I think you just got to put your time in. And with such a short bite window, it's probably going to take more than one trip to get this thing done. That was the North Dakota Tournament trip, which I was so happy to get up there. Finally, we'd have been talking about doing this destination trip for so long. I'm so glad we did it. And I got to say, this is one of those areas that I fell in love with, like, right away. It's absolutely beautiful up there. The people are super nice. It's a great reservation. Great. The casino, I cannot speak highly enough of it. Didn't get a chance to gamble at all. I'm not a huge gambler, but I was like, oh, maybe I will play some blackjack. But never did do that. I think we need more time. So next time we go up there, and there is definitely going to be a next time. Sounds like we need to be up there on late ice. It sounds like the bite is a little bit better. You know, first ice can be a little bit tough. It's clear ice. There was, like, no snow up there. So, you know, it can be pretty tough conditions. Late ice bite is supposed to be better. Might have a better chance to get one of those 12s. So when we go back, I think we need at least 2 full days of fishing. And for sure want to go target those trout again. And we're going to be set up for it. Because that was not the plan when we went out there. So we didn't really have the right equipment for it. We were trying to make do with our panfish stuff, which had been okay if you're like 12, 14-inch trout, but not 20-inch, 25-inch trout. You need a little stouter stuff. And plus, in North Dakota, you can have 4 lines apiece. So the way to do it would be to have some, you know, iFish Pros or... I can't think of the other one, like the automatic fisherman or whatever that one is called, where it, like, sets the hook for you. We need some of those. So if each of us had 3 set lines out, there's 9 set lines, and then just keep jigging, you know. And now, of course, we're picking up more and more people that want to jump in on this. So, you know, maybe we have a bigger group next time we go. I mean, we can put a really good spread of set lines out on this lake. And I gotta say, with the action that we did have, I bet we had a good 8 to 10 opportunities, like legit opportunities to catch a good trout on that lake. We just didn't capitalize on it, and I think a lot of that has to do with not having the right gear. So if we gear up for it, plus, and like, that set line went off like 4, 5, 6 times. We just never hooked up. So I think if you had enough set lines out there, you'd have had a pretty active day chasing those flags, per se, flags in air quotes. So that was a lot of fun. So then the 8-hour trip home, which was pretty uneventful, although saw a shitload of geese in Minnesota, all along the 94 corridor, pretty much like right before you got to Fergus and all the way into the cities. It just seems like there was flocks flying over 94 everywhere, all the way down. It was crazy. So the duck season is over in Minnesota here, but the goose season is still open and should be pretty good for those that can get out, put in some time scouting. You should be able to find some birds. They are around for sure. This weekend, not going to get to do any outdoor stuff. I will be at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show. Minnesota Made and FAM has Future Anglers of Minnesota. We are volunteering and helping clam out with their they have like a game section on the upstairs, and we're gonna be running that. So you can come on out, say hi. I'm gonna try to sneak off and spend some time with in the Della Bay booth as well, and then I would just like to walk around and shake some hands and talk to people and maybe pick up some more stuff. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I will be. My plan is to be at the show all day, every day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you should be able to find me in the building somewhere if you come on out. So there's your recap. And for my rant, this has kind of popped up again. I noticed on Facebook the stuff about LiveScope. Is it affecting fish populations? And, you know, it was very unscientific. It was just somebody's question on a group page. And, of course, a wide range of answers coming in. And I got to say, my gut instinct, again, this for even for, admittedly, this can be very unscientific for me. But, like, we had two live scopes with us this past weekend. And for the conditions that we were fishing, they didn't help us at all. It absolutely did not help us catch one single fish, not even when we were trout fishing. We set it up and used it. I think we marked like two fish with it, and then that was that. Also, it's not really a one-person thing. You know, it's one person that's kind of spinning around and another person to drill, and three people is like the perfect amount for running one live scope. Right, one guy is running it, one guy drills, the other guy fishes. You know, these schools are moving. Now, if the schools aren't moving, one person could probably get away with using it. But with that said, it's like the people that I know that have live scope, for the most part, seem to be like tournament anglers and stuff like that don't even keep fish that often. So I would wager, in my opinion, I think your weekend bucket brigade that's taking fish home every time they go out without live scope is doing a heavier number on overall fish populations than people with live scope. Does live scope help in certain conditions? 100%. But again, a lot of the anglers that are using it are catch and release, unless it's a tournament. And that one day, they're keeping fish. And then, even with that said, they can only keep so many. They only need to keep so many for their tournament limit. The chances are they're not keeping a full two-man limit. So again, which weekend warrior is going out there just with their normal electronics? And if they get on a good bite, they're keeping their limit. And let's be honest, a lot of them probably already have another limit in their freezer, which is illegal, but they do it anyways. We just talked about that with Jesse Thalman last week's episode. So I just don't think, every time a new and improved technology comes along, there's always some pushback. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think there should be some healthy skepticism and just making sure it's a good thing to be trying to keep the bigger picture conservation-wise in mind. So I'm totally fine with it. I'm not complaining that people are complaining. I think it's good to, question it, and then hopefully it holds up to scrutiny, and which I think it does. And usually what then end up happening is it's people forget about it, or the next newest thing comes out and they switch their focus to that. And as this technology improves and it gets cheaper and cheaper, more and more people will have it. And then, then maybe, you know, then I could see if enough people had live scope, if enough people that of the bucket brigade mentality of the catch and keep had it, you might see that might start affecting some of these populations. But now, as we're already finding out here in Minnesota, at least for some lakes, they're reducing the limits, but that's more of just trying to create bigger fish than it is so much protecting overall populations. But I will say, like I have continued to, I have said many times before on this podcast, if you feel that the limits are too high or too many fish are being taken out of a lake or of this size or whatever it is, you don't have to wait for the DNR to change the limits. You can take it amongst yourself and set your own parameters. And I know I do it. I know a lot of guys that do it. You know, they have their kind of own personal bluegill slot limit and their own personal crappie slot limit. For me, it's like 8.5 to 9 inch gills. That's what I like to, that I'll keep. Anything over 9 is going back. For crappies, you know, like up to 12, you know, an 11-inch crappie is a great eating crappie. That's a nice thick fillet. You know, for me personally, honestly, like one meal, if I kept four 11-inch crappies, that's all I'm eating, those 8 fillets. That's it. I'm going to be full for sure. So I don't even need a full limit. So there's no reason, just because the limit is 10, you don't have to keep 10. There's no law saying you have to keep those. And so if that is your concern, if you're concerned about overall numbers, then start taking it upon yourself. You can start keeping less. And then promote that amongst your friends and family and people that you maybe can influence. And you can change your culture that way. Bass fishing did it in the 80s with catch and release. Tournament anglers started, they wanted to catch bigger and bigger fish. They started doing catch and release. There were no laws for it, and there still really aren't. I know there's a couple of catch and release lakes like Chisago, but for the most part, bass anglers don't really keep them anyways. So it's just a great example of you don't have to wait for a law to dictate that you can't keep X amount of fish or this size of fish. You can take it amongst yourself and set your own parameters, have your own conservation. And I actually think that is better and more efficient than waiting for laws to be enacted. So there's my recap. There's my opinion on that. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. I appreciate it. A couple shout-outs quick before I go. Friend of mine and a friend of the show. If you listen to it long enough, you probably know this person, Mr. Tony Tessing from Hometown Hero Outdoors. Huge shout out to him. He is back home. Speaking of COVID, he has been fighting COVID. It was pretty bad there for a while. He was, you know, they had him on intubation. And in my experience, like when I heard that news, my heart sunk because that was a death sentence. He is now the first person that I know in my circle, people that I have talked to and heard about, that has been in the hospital, went on intubation, and not died. So I am very thankful of that. Welcome home, Tony. I'm glad to hear you got a long road recovery, it sounds. And you're a tough son of a bitch. I know you can do it. But I saw a picture of you and your family, and your new baby boy. Made my heart smile. So, just want a huge shout out to the Tessing family. Thinking about you. Continue thinking about you. Also, speaking of Patrick Patches Olson, has also come down with the dirty Rona. Sounds like he's doing okay. He has had the jabby jab. So probably, you know, hopefully there's any truth to all that, that it doesn't hit him too hard. He seems to be doing okay. So just a shout out to old Patrick. We'll be thinking about you. Get some rest, get better, buddy. And that's it. So with that, Well, thank everybody for listening. I truly appreciate it. Come out and see me at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show if you can. And yeah, that's it. I'm not sure what we're going to have for it's supposed to be really warm this week here in Minnesota. So whoever got out ice fishing this past weekend, be careful. Hopefully we don't lose too much. I know you have to travel a fair amount north to get on some decent ice anyways. So we'll see. But if you're going fishing, be super careful and good luck. Have fun. Catch a lot of big fish. That's that. I will leave you with this. Whatever your passion, pursue it full scale.